Father in heaven, I need your help today. Hide me behind the cross. I think about my granddaughter starting a new chapter in her life. And there's more just like her all over our nation. As they embark on a new chapter in their life, I pray, Lord, that you'll be with them, that they won't forget their godly values that they were raised with. Don't let them heathenistic professors mess with their brains and their minds. I pray, Lord, that you'll keep them strong in the faith. Keep them all strong in the faith. Watch over them, Lord, and protect them. Keep them safe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Revelation chapter 20. I guess, Dale, I'd like to have you put Isaiah chapter 65, verses 17 through 25 on the wall behind me. There are other scriptural references that come into play with the millennium. Zechariah 14, we won't be turning there today, but I want to give those to you for your study. Zechariah chapter 14, Ezekiel chapters 40 through 48. Psalms chapter 2, verse 7, 8, 9. Those are some other scriptures that have to do with the millennium. We today will deal with Isaiah 65, 17 through 25, and 2 Peter 3, 1 through 16. Those are supporting scriptures for the millennium. Millennium means 1,000. 1,000 years. We are premillennials. Without saying a whole lot about it, premillennialist means that we believe Jesus is coming to earth physically, bodily, before the millennial kingdom is started. So that makes us premillennials. And the early church all believed that way. It wasn't until later, much later, that the other interpretations of the millennium came into being, post-millennium and amillennial. Those two interpretations came much later. But we ascribe to the first one, which is pre-millennial, our Lord having come into earth before the millennium starts. The prophet Isaiah referred to the coming kingdom of our Lord many times. The last two chapters in Isaiah contain the information that concerns this particular time. So with Isaiah 65, I'd like to read these verses because I want to comment about them. Prophet Isaiah has a lot to say about the conditions of the millennium, what will be going on during the time of the millennium. We've got a lot of insight here by this prophet. For behold, I create new heavens and new earth. And the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing and her people a joy. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and joy in my people, and the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. It's interesting. There's a wailing wall if you ever visit Jerusalem. And they wail there constantly. They'll go to the wall and they'll slide folded pieces of prayers in the mortar joints of the stone. The Wailing Wall is the original part of Solomon's temple. It's there where they meet for prayer, and they do exactly what it says. They wail. They cry. And this is going on for years. It's interesting that the prophet speaks of it. There'll be a time of rejoicing. There'll be no more weeping. No more will be heard in her, nor voice of crying. There shall be no more in it an infant of days, nor an old man that have not filled his days. Now I'll be speaking a little bit more about that. For the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and shall eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree are the days of my people. And mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer. And while they're yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together. The lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's food. We don't see much of a change there in the serpent. The serpent's still going to crawl in his belly. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Here you can see it's very descriptive of some of the details during the millennium. Jerusalem will be a place of rejoicing. No more weeping, no more wailing. Verse 20, I want to deal with. It talks about the lifespan of a man. It's going to be increased as it was in the days before the flood. Any of you Bible people have ever read the Bible, you'll know that before the flood, men and women lived for a long time. Their time of longevity was very long. Now we have 70 years. Back then, the longest, the oldest man that ever lived would have been Methuselah. He lived 969 years. Adam was 900 and some. Most of them are some 900 years. We know the millennium is 1,000 years. During the time of the millennium, people, men and women, will live for a much longer time. Very, very, very close to the way it was before the flood. There will be a population explosion during the time of the millennium. They'll be able to have childbearing up until very, very, very old. Families won't be surprised for families to have 10, 15, 20 children during the millennium. That's what the scripture says. This is what it says. This is why I want you to see behind me on the wall where I get this information so you can understand where we get this. There will be a population explosion because people will be living longer. They'll be producing more children. They'll be able to have as many children as they desire. So the lifespan will be much longer. Believers will live until the end of the millennium. Some will live as long as 1,000 years. However, there'll be some people who are unsaved. They will also be given the choice to accept Christ or to reject him. All men and women will be given the same choices as you and I have. Remember now that Satan has been bound for 1,000 years. So there's three ways of temptation. We have the world, and we have the flesh, and the devil. So we know the world is now the Lord's kingdom, is now his kingdom. He is a judge and righteous judge. So we have a world of righteousness during the millennial times. The devil has been bound, so we won't have that temptation. But there's one temptation left that I mentioned that will be a temptation during the time of 1,000 years. It's the temptation of the flesh. There'll be the temptation of the flesh. Those people who will be born during the time of the millennium. And they will also have to be tested like you and I. And they will be given a choice, as you and I were given our choices. By the way, we'll be living in reigning and ruling during this time. We'll not be having no family. We already had our family here. This is our family. We've already had our opportunity for propagation. This will be new people that will be born during tribulation period. Okay. Those people who do not receive the Lord as Savior, their time span, this Bible says here, according to Isaiah, is limited to how long? Did you catch it? 100 years. 100 years. If you live to be 100 years old, according to Isaiah the prophet, and you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can expect to do what on your 100th birthday? Die. You're going to die on your 100th birthday. That's just what the scripture says. We're interpreting the scripture as we read it. And on your 100th birthday, you will die. You don't have to die without Jesus, but you have been given a choice. You've been given a choice like we all have. God's no respecter of persons. Everybody's given a choice. We're just trying to interpret this in scripture here that the prophet Isaiah had to say about this particular time. So that means if you've not accepted Jesus as your Savior on your 100th birthday, you will die. Here are some other things we can learn about the millennium. In verse 23, there'll be economic stability. It's going to be a very much of a standard during that particular period in the millennium. Men will not build houses and let others occupy them. Perhaps do, like it is with the devil. The devil's involved in death and sickness. There will be no death and sickness that's going to affect many of God's people. Yes, those who live by the flesh, will the flesh reap what? Corruption. Didn't Paul say that? Those who live in the flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. So yes, those who aren't living for the Lord will reap corruption during the millennial period. But there'll be more people living for the Lord. Listen to me, there'll be more people living for the Lord than there will be making the choice to live for the devil. Because the devil's been bound, so the devil has no temptation for them. It's the flesh that people are going to have to deal with. It'll be a stable time. People will be able to enjoy the fruits of their labors and their efforts. They shall not labor in vain or bring forth for trouble. Isaiah 65, verse 23. God will answer his people speedily during the millennial kingdom, even while they are in the midst of praying. And even before they call, God will anticipate the needs of his people by supplying all those needs before they even call upon him. What else do we see? We see that the curse on the animal kingdom will be lifted. The animals were cursed back in the book of Genesis. That's why we have the things happening, why animals kill one another, because of the curse. That curse will be lifted. And the animals will have peace with one another. The wolf and the lamb and the lion will feed together. Now, some of those that visit you sometimes on Saturdays, Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, will have like a little pamphlet made up. And of course, this pamphlet that they give you is made up with the scripture verse that I've read to you, Isaiah chapter 65. Much of the pamphlet is made up of these scripture verses that I've already given to you. And it talks about the millennial kingdom. It talks about when the animals will be at peace with one another, and they'll give you this pamphlet to read. I've already had that pamphlet. I remember reading it. The earth will be, there will be a total renovation of the earth. When God created the earth, at the time that it was created, it was all one landmass known as Pangea. Does any of you remember that, studying it in school? I do. I remember that. The earth was one landmass all together. If you take a globe and you look at it, you'll be able to see how that the landmasses fit together just like a beautiful puzzle. You take a globe and you look at it, and you'll see these different landmasses, how nice they fit together when you slide them together. So when did this take place, Pastor? It took place when the flood occurred. All the landmass was one particular together, Pangea. And when the flood occurred, that's when the land was divided. In Genesis, a man by the name of Peleg, it says that the land was divided during his time. In his lifetime, it was during the flood. And the landmasses were divided. They were shifted, and the landmasses became divided. Now, there'll be a renovation once again. Many believe it will occur before the millennium. We don't know when it's going to occur. We just know that it's going to happen. The mountains, in other words, the Lord is going to make good use of the earth. He is going to rework the earth. All these large mountain ranges that it's just wilderness, no place for habitation. Mountain men like to try to make it so, but I'm just telling you that for the most part, there's no habitation in these areas, and God's going to rework the earth so that he can make it habitable. Right now, 3/4 of the earth is made up of what? Water. He's going to do something about that. He's going to make the earth more usable. Right now, there's a lot of wasted areas on the earth, wasted areas. God has purpose for it. But as far as population is concerned, pretty much wasted. But he's going to rework the earth. He's going to readdress the earth. Some work before the millennium, we don't know. We just know that this is what's going to happen because the scripture says it's going to happen. He says he'll create new heavens and new earth. Now, some believe the heavens he's talking to is the atmospheric area. The air many times in scripture is referred to as a heaven. Remember, Paul said he was caught up into the third heaven. He was caught up into the third heaven. That would verify then that the first heaven is the sky and the clouds that we see. The second heaven would be what? The universe. The third heaven, of course, would be God's domain. So Paul said, I was caught up in the third heaven. So in the scriptures, many times when it's referred to as heaven, it's referring to the atmosphere that we see. New earth, new atmosphere. All that will be created. He will create a new atmospheric heaven around the earth. We will establish the earth. We know from other passages of scripture that the wasted areas of the world will be recreated and God will resurface the earth. This same period of time, by the way, is referred to, and now I'm ready for the next reference, 2 Peter 3, chapter verses 1 through 16, talks about this same period that I've been talking about. The apostle predicts in the last days, scoffers will come walking after their own lusts, suggesting that because no changes have occurred since creation, since the beginning of time, it would be a reason to disbelieve the fact of his coming. Well, don't you believe the devil's lie, because Jesus is coming. He is coming. But I can tell you the devil has a lot of people deceived. They think this world's going to last forever. Sad to say, they have been deceived. Many will have been deceived. They have rejected the changes that was made in the flood. They give it some other reason for happening. They don't believe in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah because they can't find it. That's because it's been buried, just like the Garden of Eden. They don't believe that the Garden of Eden was real because they can't find it. And I can prove to you how the Garden of Eden was hid and buried. God took care of it. When he cast Adam and Eve out of the garden, he put a cherubim at the entrance, lest they come in and also eat of the tree of life and live forever. God came, took that tree of life, put it back in heaven. Chapter 22, you'll read about it. All manner of fruit is on that tree. It's the same tree that was in the Garden of Eden. God took it, pulled it out, and brought it to heaven. It's in heaven today. And when the flood occurred, the flood came in on the Persian Gulf and just covered the Garden of Eden completely. That's how God works, just like that. He's slick. He's covered it. He's covered the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden is under the northern headwaters of the Persian Gulf today. How do we know that, Pastor? Because the Bible tells us where it is. In Genesis, there's four rivers that flowed through the Garden of Eden. You just need a map. Look at the map. You'll see the four rivers. Hiddekel was the Tigris. And all these four rivers converged into one place. Where is that? It converged into the Persian Gulf. There's no other place in the world where it could occur. And when the flood occurred, the Persian Gulf came in, covered it, and it's under the water today. It's gone. God had no use for it any longer. He further states, as the apostle Peter says, one day with the Lord is as if 1,000 years. Means that God's promises of 2,000 years ago are just only 2 days old. That's how God is. See, people don't understand God. Neither can they, such finite minds. His ways are so much higher than our ways. He predicts the day of the Lord will usher in a time of cataclysmic change upon the earth. The Bible says, according to the apostle, the earth will be dissolved, meaning that the surface of the earth in the day of the Lord, there will be destruction on this old earth. There will be a refurbishing taking place upon the surface, which God will establish his kingdom of righteousness. These times that is described by Peter are upon us. And every child of God today should heed his word, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy living and godliness, looking for and hasting on to the coming of the day of the Lord? 2 Peter 3:11-12. That brings us to verses 10 through 10. Revelation chapter 20, verses 10 through 10. When the 1,000 years was ended, Satan was loosed out of the prison. He'll go out and deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. They went up to the breadth of the earth and passed the camp of the saints about. And that beloved city is telling us that would be Jerusalem. Fire came down from God out of heaven, devoured them. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. We've already seen at the very beginning of the millennial kingdom, Satan was bound by a great angel. I believe he was Michael. I was sharing it with one of the prisoners last Sunday. The reason I believe that is because we read also in Revelation, there was a great war. There was a battle in heaven. Satan's angels fought with Michael and his angels. And the Bible says that Michael prevailed. Michael is the strongest angel in heaven. Satan was the most beautiful angel created. Michael was the strongest angel ever created. So it would be Michael who would bind the devil. Doesn't say that, but I strongly believe it's Michael. It really doesn't matter, but we know it'll take a strong angel to bind him. So the great angel put Satan in the bottomless pit. Men will not be tempted by Satan for 1,000 years. We have three different areas of temptation. I shared them before: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And so we know the only one that man will have temptation during the millennial period is the temptation of the flesh. It will be the temptation of the flesh. So we know that this kind of environment is going to be prevalent during the millennial period. We know that there will be an overwhelming number of people who will be saved. There'll be a few that'll be lost, but there'll be more people that will be saved. Verse 20 of Isaiah 65, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath filled his days, for the child shall die 100 years old, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. We spoke of that. Those that don't accept Christ, that on their 100th birthday will die if they've not received him. Like Adam and Eve, before the flood, parents will have children that will live to be over 100 years old. In fact, hundreds of years old, just as it was the time of Adam and Eve. Unprecedented blessing and food supplies. Many children will live for many, many years. And that will make an overwhelming majority of Christians. Look at verse 8. And shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog. I want you to understand this is not the same Gog and Magog that's mentioned in Ezekiel chapter 38 and 39, although the names are the same, but it's two different battles. The Battle of Armageddon was involved at the end of the tribulation period. This battle will be the final battle that will occur after the millennium when Satan is released. He will go and he will deceive the nations and he will gather together nations, the number of whom is the sand of the sea. I didn't want to reject that because you say, Pastor, you just said the overwhelming majority of the people will be Christians. That's a fact. But what you're not taking into consideration is there is going to be a population explosion. There will be more people on during the millennium than have been ever born in our time. Can you imagine that many people? Than our time. There'll be more people then. So that will account for the many that the devil will deceive, and they will be as the sand of the sea. That's not an exaggeration. There will be many that will follow after the devil, and that will be his last battle. It'll be his last battle that he will try to do battle with our Lord, and then his time is completely over. There will be a massive millennial soul harvest. Should be encouraging. There'll be many times more people being converted during the millennial kingdom than will be those that are lost. The millennial population will exceed that total world population of all biblical history. The majority will be Christian. There's another truth that we can see revealed in verse 8, and it concerns the consistency of the work of Satan in every generation has been the same. The devil was out to kill and to destroy. He'll be incarcerated for 1,000 years, but after he is released, he will immediately do what he has done for centuries. He will deceive the nations. He is a master deceiver of men. His conflict of the ages program will continue, and his deception will continue. We can find there's different ways of deception. He always finds its opposition to the will of God. Satan tries two different approaches with man. He either gets him to turn against Christ because he loves unrighteousness, or he gets him to rebel against God by sinning willfully. If you have received Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior today, or if you've not, then you are deceived. You can dress up your deception with a host of excuses and a long list of reasons, but I can tell you it is nothing more than Satan's deception. And it would be well for you to heed the words that you are hearing today and contemplate the outcome of Satan's rebellion, lest you also share it with him. Verse 10, the devil that deceived him was cast into the lake of brimstone where the beast and false prophet are. They shall be tormented night, day and night forever and ever. Why was it that God did not cast Satan into the lake of fire immediately? It was because he was not done with him. The Lord saved Satan out of that judgment because he wanted to give the last generation who would not live to be 100 years of age, they needed to have a choice. And that is the reason why he released the devil. And of course, while the devil's out, he's also deceiving the nations and trying to make up one last battle. All men have been tempted of Satan and have had to decide whether to respond to God or to Satan. All men have sinned, but God, through the gift of his son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross, has given man a second chance. And that second chance involves the acceptance of God's gift of salvation in the person of his wonderful son. The beast and the false prophet have been cast in the lake of fire where they have been now for 1,000 years. And so the passage says where the beast and the false prophet are. It's interesting that the scripture makes us note to take note of that. It's where they are. It's where they've been for 1,000 years. They are men and they are suffering the torments of the damned for 1,000 years. And we can certainly discern that men can suffer for that long and then longer yet. The plight of Satan for eternity is given in verse 10. It's the same plight that's shared by all those who have been deceived by him and shall be tormented day and night. You see, if God's eternal and we as believers will enjoy being with him eternally, then we know that also those who are deceived by Satan will also be tormented day and night forever and ever. If you've not personally received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you heard these words today, you need to make a decision. You need to make a decision. It's not too late for you to call upon the Lord, who said, "Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me." Would you stand with me? If you're here today, and those of you that perhaps may be watching by way of the internet, I pray today is not too late. I pray that you'll make that prayer today. I pray that you'll ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins and invite him to come and live in your life, so that you can be blessed in that hope of the first resurrection, for the second resurrection will have no power over you. So I hope that you were able to pray that prayer today and invite him to come and live in your heart. In Jesus' name we pray and ask all these things. Amen and amen. Lord bless you.